good morning. How's everybody? I want to tell Shannon and her team thank you for doing an awesome job at camp. We got a great team. We work with our youth and our kids. And in fact, I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we're needing more Jesus followers to help us with our G-Force and our student ministries. So if you're currently not serving, and maybe you've done that before, or you have a passion to help raise up this next generation for Jesus followers, if you would somehow get in touch with the office and let us know, we'd love to sit down and meet with you and talk to you about what you would be saying yes to, and we sure would appreciate your service there. Who's ever been caught in a storm before? In a storm. Not you've watched it on TV, but you've been in a storm. Maybe a hurricane, tornado, a storm that was bad enough where you thought you might die. Yeah. Today I'm going to be talking about when storms come. And not if, but when, right? Because storms will come. I remember back when I was... And I don't know why I remember this, because normally I don't remember it much when you're 2 or 3 years old, but we were living in Corpus, and it was during the time when Hurricane Carla hit the coast of Texas. Who was old enough? Who's old enough to have lived through Hurricane Carla? And we weren't in that hurricane. I think what I remember from it is watching the news 24/7, right? Black and white news coverage on that hurricane. And we've been in some tornadoes since. I know with Tammy and our kids, there's been times where Tammy was the one that would always tell us, because she lived through the 1979 tornado in Wichita Falls that wiped out a third of the city. And she actually, her and her parents were driving around. I don't recommend that. That's not wise. They were driving around. They say they were trying to escape and run from it. But then why did they drive up on the parking lot that had just been hit by it? And so, but she remembers that. And so she's always told us, get under the stairs, get under the stairs. So there's been a few times, even out at the lake where we're living, there's been a few times where we've had to get under the stairs, and we get our pillows and our blankets, and we're back there, and, you know, we've lost electricity, and we're thinking this tornado could hit our house. And so we're just praying like nobody's business. Who's ever experienced something like that? Yeah. So today I'm going to share a message that says when storms come. When storms come, how do you deal with them? And maybe not literal storms like a physical storm, but what about a financial storm or a marital storm, or you get a bad health report kind of storm? You do? What do you do? How do you navigate through the storm? Some of us navigate by fear. Others, we know we should probably navigate by faith. And so we're going to look at a storm story today, and let's see what God has to say about it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the story today that we're going to read about a storm that your son Jesus and some of his followers got caught in, and how they reacted, how they responded to it. I pray, Lord, that we would be able to take away some truths for us, for the storm that we're in, or maybe the storm that we're going to be in one day, that we'll remember what we read today, we'll remember what you tell us to do when a storm comes. I pray this in your name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, when storms come. You know, Jesus made it really clear. He said, in this world, there will be storms. There will be trouble. There will be tribulation. There will be, he says. And sometimes it helps to know in advance what we're going to do if and when that storm comes. I think we can learn a few things from this story. This is Mark chapter 4. In your Bible, it may be subtitled, Jesus Calms a Storm. Who would agree that that's a miracle when Jesus calms a storm? So in this passage, Mark is sharing his testimony about the miracle that he witnessed, about a storm that he and his buddies had got into, and how they dealt with it, how God dealt with it. and maybe some takeaways for us. Now, I think most would agree this was a miracle. And if you were to ask me today, Pastor Bob, do you still believe that miracles happen? I would say yes. But if you were to ask me, do you understand why they don't always happen? I would have to say, no, I don't understand. I don't understand that. I don't understand why some people get healed and other people don't. I don't understand why some marriages get restored and others don't. I don't understand why some kids live longer and some kids don't. I don't understand why people who really want kids can't have any and why those who really don't want them get so many. I don't understand it. I would say this. It probably has more to do with us than with God. But God still has a part to play, like he did in today's story. So with that in mind, let's look at the story. This is Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It says, on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, who is he? Jesus said to them, who are them? His disciples. Let us go across to the other side. So hit the pause button for a minute. They are getting ready to venture out onto the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is 680 feet below sea level. And there's mountains surrounding it. And sometimes high winds create these storms. It'll be beautiful. And then within minutes, maybe an hour, a storm could be on you. You didn't see it coming. It just suddenly happens. That happened to my boys one time. They were living down in Corpus. They had just bought an offshore boat to go fishing. They went 60 miles out. They had no business going 60 miles out. They were not captains. They did not really know how to navigate weather. They didn't have the right equipment on their boat. And they got caught in a storm. And if you talk to any of the three boys, they will tell you there was a point when they were in the boat, the waves were crashing over into the boat, the boat was filling up with water, the boat was sinking, they lost all electronics. They turned on whatever the beacon is that notifies the Coast Guard, only to find out later they never got it registered, so the Coast Guard never got the signal. But I remember Matt or Caleb one told me that, you know, Jake's the older brother, he was kind of in charge of the deal. And they said, it's the first time we looked in each other's eyes and really thought all three brothers were going to die, they were going to drown, and they were going to die. That's kind of what happened in this story, I'm thinking. That these guys thought that they were going to die. Out of nowhere, this storm comes up. So let's keep reading. Verse 36, and leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling with water. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are about to perish? Let's talk about that. How many of you are boat people? If you're a boat person, you can probably relate to what's happening here. And maybe some of you are not boat people because you can relate to what's happening here. Here are these 12 guys in a boat out in the Gulf, waves crashing over them, boat filling with water. And they're thinking, this could be it. This could be the end. If you're like a lot of boat people, you're thinking, why was this happening to them? Because Jesus was with them, right? This shouldn't be happening. If Jesus is in your boat with you, these kind of things shouldn't be happening. In fact, I think a lot of Christians sometimes think that. Why is this happening to me? I'm a believer. And some people will say, my life has gotten worse since I put my faith in God. What's the deal? Just because you're a Christian, I said it earlier, Jesus said there will be trouble. There will be storms in your life. Just because you're a Christian does not mean you're exempt from the storms of life. And all the believers said, amen. Yeah, we just know that to be true, right? So what kind of storms are you going through? I know in this story it was a literal storm, a physical storm related to the weather, but how about a job-related storm? You've got a job you can't stand. You know, you thought it was going to work out to be one way and it's not. You've got a boss that's hard to work for, or maybe some of you have no job at all. You've been looking and looking and looking, and which leads into maybe a financial storm with no job. There's no money. There's no income. We can't pay our bills. You're up to your eyeballs in debt. Don't see a way out. A lot of stress, a lot of fighting. What about a health storm, a health issue? Get a bad report. Marital storm. Know a few couples that are going through some rocky, wavy situations in their relationship. Depression. I know some people that are battling anxiety, depression, and it just suddenly came on them. They didn't see it coming. They didn't know why it's where it came from or why. Maybe a family storm. Maybe it's you got kids that are, if you're older, you got older kids that are off doing things that you hope they would never do, but they're doing them, and you're thinking, man, if they would just do what they know to do, we wouldn't be going through this situation. All kinds of storms. So, some of you might be in a storm right now, one of those kind of storms. Some of you have been in those storms, and hopefully you know what I'm about to say is going to make some sense, or there might be a storm in the future of one of these kinds. And so I want to share with you three thoughts, three things that we should remember when you're in a storm. And here's number one, if you're taking notes, it could be that you're in the storm by God's appointment. I'm just going to go ahead and start off with that one. It could be God's plan. It could be part of his story, part of your story, that you're in a storm. Look at verse 35. It says, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. Whose idea was it to get in the boat? Whose? It was God's idea. It was Jesus, his son. And being God, being the son of God, I'm going to assume that he kind of knew there might have been a storm in the forecast. Could it be that he kind of knew there was a storm in your forecast? Maybe you're in a storm right now, and you're thinking, I wish I wasn't in this storm. Listen, if it's appointed by God, it makes no sense to think that way. Rather, instead of God, why, it's God, what are we going to do? If this storm is by appointment, if there's a reason that you have for me to go through this storm, or you've allowed this storm to come on me, clue me in. But I think it helps to know that sometimes storms come because they're appointed by God. Some storms are the result of bad decisions. We make a hasty decision and then we have to live with the consequences of that. Some storms are brought on by the enemy. You know, the scripture tells us that the enemy's out to kill, steal, and destroy. He's out to attack us. Some storms are the result of living in a fallen world. Jesus said, in this world, this fallen world, you will have trouble. You will have heartache. He says, but take heart, be encouraged, for I've overcome the world. A little over 25 years ago, a storm hit my sister's life. She got diagnosed with cancer, lymphoma. And for the next 2 or 3 years, it was a tough storm for her and her family. She didn't see it coming. She's a nurse. She's in the medical profession. And it rocked her world. And it rocked her family's world, you know. And she went through what we normally go through. Why me? I'm a good person. You know, why is this happening to me? I eat relatively healthy. I stay active. And, you know, it opens up the door for the question, well, did God cause this? Or why did he allow it? I lean towards more of, I don't think God puts cancer or any of these other storms on people. A lot of times storms come because of poor decisions we've made. I think in her case, God allowed the storm for a reason. And looking back, see, once you get through the storm and you know that you got through it and you look back on it, you learn a lot about the storm you went through that you didn't know when you went through it. Amen. When she looks back on her storm, she would tell you that God used it for a lot of good. I made a few notes here of some things that it did in her. It made her faith in God stronger. Can you imagine? It made her marriage stronger. It brought her and her husband together. He travels a lot. He was a pilot, a Delta pilot, so he was gone a lot. But you know what? He took a lot of time off and just was with her. It made the marriage stronger. Her appreciation for life increased. Her compassion for others increased. You see, on the other side of the storm, she could see that God took something that seemed bad and turned it into something good. I'm just wondering if he'll do that in your storm or in my storm. I think he will. Maybe you're at a place right now where you wish you weren't. God's wanting you to take you to a place where he really wants you to go, like Jesus took those disciples. It could be that you're in a storm by his appointment. He knew it was going to happen, but he's a good God, and he's going to see to it that you get through it and that something good's going to come from it. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Here's number two. It could be that you're in the storm, but don't forget, you're in his presence, or you're with his presence. Look at verse 38. It says, but he was in the stern. In other words, he was in the boat with them, asleep on the cushion. I love that. We're freaking out. God's just taking a nap. He's in the storm with us, but he's not worried about it. Who in here would like to have the calm of Jesus the next time you're in a storm? Yeah. Easier said than done, right? We're not Jesus. I put a note here. God never panics. We need not maybe to panic so much if we know that God's in our boat. It's interesting that he was in the stern, which means he was down below. In other words, he wasn't really in sight. But he was there. It's like what David penned in the 23rd Psalm. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? He says, because you are what? You are with me. Look at your neighbor and just remind him God is with you. Look at your other neighbor and tell them God's with you too. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God has not forgotten about you, even though we think he has. He might be really quiet, but it doesn't mean he's left. When you're in a storm, remember it could be it's there because of his appointment, but don't forget, he's with you. If you know Jesus, if you've invited him into your life as your Savior, as your Lord, he is with you. And then number three, it could be that you're in the storm for his purpose. For his purpose. And for your good. Right? Storms can serve a purpose. I think about my sister's situation and now my situation. You know, I got a similar report. But it's actually led to something good. And I'm trying to, figure out what might have been the purpose, because believe me, I would have chosen a different path. But once you've been, served a report, then you have to process it. And you have to figure out, okay, what's going on here? Before I got a report of prostate cancer, I was overweight. I was pre-diabetic. I had high blood pressure, high cholesterol. And for years, I had a lot of my friends here at church, you know, recommending, why don't you come back and work out with us? Why don't you get back in the gym? Why don't you eat healthy, you know? And I kept hearing that little voice inside of me going, are you going to wait till you get a bad report to do something about it? And I did. Got a bad report. But now I have new motivation. I've lost 35 pounds. I'm eating healthy. I'm feeling healthy. I don't have the high sugars anymore. I don't have high blood pressure anymore. I've come off some of my medicines. I'm getting healthier, healthy. So I'm thinking, okay, is that what it took for this stubborn old pastor to make the changes? I really believe by faith that I'm going to live longer now because I got a bad report than I would have had I gotten no report at all. So I share that with you, not for your sympathy or empathy. I share that with you to encourage you. Maybe you can relate and apply that in your storm in some way. Could it be that if you're going through a marriage storm, your marriage is going to be stronger and better, but you're going to get through the storm? Don't jump out of the boat. Stay in it and let God work out what he needs to work out so you have a better marriage. Don't check out when you're in a financial storm. You know, some people leave their marriages. Some people want to leave life. They can't handle the pressure. Listen. Stay in it. Change your perspective. God, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me? Make some changes so that your financial life is better once the storm passes. Don't quit in the middle of a storm is what I'm trying to tell you. Get through it. Surround yourself with other people that'll pray you and be in the boat with you. Amen. Look at the rest of verse 38. It says, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? In other words, we don't want to die. We've said that. God, do you notice what I'm going through? Do you not care? Do you not see that I'm in trouble? Do you not see that I'm in pain? Do you not see that I'm depressed? Do you not see that I'm broke? Do you not see that my spouse is leaving me or has left me? What are you going to do? I just want to remind you, God does see it all. And he does care. But he's allowing it to go on for a greater purpose. Maybe that's why James 1, one of my favorite verses. I'm kind of joking. James 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Yeah, right. Hey, I've got a praise report. I just lost my job. Hey, praise God, she just left me. Woo-hoo, hallelujah. That's not what he's implicating here. He goes on. Here's why you rejoice. Because you know that the testing of your faith, isn't that what storms do? The testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work. That's why I said don't get out of the storm early. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, when a storm comes, a lot of us pray, God, would you stop the storm? Would you remove it? You know what God says? No, I'm using it to improve something in your life. It's going to make things better. You don't see it yet, but trust me. It's a test. Maybe it's a check. Maybe it's a moment for pausing and reassessing where you are, where you're headed. Maybe you need to redirect. This is my way of getting your attention because you're always so busy, you don't slow down and take time enough to check in with me daily. And so sometimes I allow these things to happen to get your attention. And then we see the miracle. Verse 39. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. Who's ready for God to say, peace be still in your marriage? Yeah. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Do you still not believe? But notice, they had to go through the storm first. You see that? They had to get through the storm first before he stopped the storm. And it was in the storm, maybe it was a storm that's been appointed by God. It was a storm, though, nonetheless. God's in it with us. He's in the storm with us. If you know Jesus, he's in the storm with you. But it was also for a purpose. It was for a purpose. And that's where we, as we're going through a storm, we need to seek God daily and say, God, what's your purpose here? Show me. Show me, show me, show me. Well, what do you hear God saying for you today? You know, for some of you, God's going to speak to your storm and say, peace, be still. And he's going to heal. He's going to heal you physically. He's going to restore your marriage. He's going to restore your finances. He's going to answer your prayer. For others, God's going to speak to your heart. He's going to allow the storm to continue, but he's going to say the same thing to your heart, peace, be still, and it will. In fact, I would probably say the latter is the greater miracle. We've seen it in other people. All hell's breaking loose in their life, and they're just so cool about it. They're just so peaceful about it. That's a miracle. I love singer-songwriter Scott Crepane. I don't know if he wrote the song. I think he did. I know other people have sung it. Sometimes he calms a storm. I just want to read the chorus of that. Sometimes he calms the storm with a whispered peace, be still. He can settle any sea, but it doesn't mean he will. Sometimes he holds us close and lets the wind and waves go wild. Sometimes he calms a storm. Other times he calms his child. I like that. That helps put my storms in perspective. It helps allow me to see storms from God's perspective, and we work together to get through it. Amen. Would you bow your heads? Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for showing us your truth about facing storms in life, of whatever kind they are. Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray for miracles to take place in the lives of those that need your supernatural intervention today. Maybe that's physical healing in their bodies, emotional healing in their minds and in their soul, relational or financial restoration. Lord Jesus, we believe as a church family that you've given us the authority to speak to the storms in our life and command them to be still. Lord, we believe that you've given us the authority to speak to our own hearts and command our hearts to be still. And either way, we say thank you for being a good God who loves us and cares about us and wants what's best for us, even when we don't see it, even when we don't realize it. And so we want to say thank you. Thank you for showing us this today. Help us to remember it as we go through our storms, or the next time we will go through a storm. For those that are maybe going through a storm right now, maybe you would say, I've never invited Jesus to be in my boat. Maybe that's where you start today. I've already told you it's no guarantee that there won't be storms. But I just know from my own life that when I go through a storm, I really like Jesus being in the boat with me. It helps me to know that I'm not going through this all by myself. If I know that Jesus is in my boat with me, I know that he's going to help me, and he's going to see to it that we get through it. And he's going to bring me the peace I need, and he's going to bring me the faith that I need. And I've got his word to read, the scriptures that will comfort my soul and give me hope that this too shall pass. If you're here today and you've never invited Jesus in your boat and you're thinking, man, that's what I need today, would you just raise your hand up high? I want to pray for you. Thank you, sir. Who else? Just raise it up high. Be honest before God today. Listen, your boat is sinking. don't be dumb. If Jesus isn't in the boat with you, invite him to get aboard. Come on. Maybe somebody's watching online. I can't see your hand, but I'm going to pray a prayer. If you're watching online or you watch this after today and you go back and this speaks to your heart, you need Jesus in your boat, let's just invite him into our boat right now. Just say this: Jesus, I invite you to come into my boat, into my life, into my heart. I feel like my boat's sinking. Forgive me for resisting you. Forgive me for excluding you in my life. But I need help. And I can't save myself. And I can't fix all my problems alone. So humbly, gratefully, I bow my heart to you and I say, come Jesus, come into my life right now. I want you in my boat. And I'm believing that together we're going to get through whatever storms I'm in, whatever storms I will be in. Together we're going to get through it. And your will be done. And I say thank you for that right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Who's glad Jesus is in your boat? Now listen, listen. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you. I know a lot of people go to concerts and they lift their hands to worship the one on stage. They lift their hands to celebrate. They go to ball games. Yoo-hoo! When we stand and sing this next song, I'm just going to challenge you. If Jesus is in your boat, why don't you lift your hands and praise to him and show thanks to him? Just wave your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Forget about the guy or girl next to you that's going to think you're crazy. Listen, let's just confirm it. We're crazy for Jesus. Let's stand up and give him some crazy worship. Enjoy your day, and I'll see you next Sunday.